land. Broad lawn, dry pond, fence, stone bird, goldenrod, TV aerial. Still no sign of the cat. Or of the girl. I glanced at the cat path and waited for the girl to come back. 10 minutes went by, and neither cat nor girl showed up. Nothing moved. I felt as if I had aged tremendously while I slept. I stood and glanced towards the house where there was no sign of a human presence. The bay window reflected the glare of the western sun. I gave up waiting and crossed the lawn to the alley, returning home. I hadn't found the cat, but I had tried my best. At home, I took in the washing and prepared a simple dinner. The phone rang for 12 rings at 5:30, but I didn't answer it. Even after the ringing stopped, the sound of the bell lingered in the indoor evening gloom like dust floating in the air. With the tips of its hard claws, the table clock tapped at a transparent board floating in space. Why not write a poem about the wind-up bird? The idea struck me, but the first line would not come. How could schoolgirls possibly enjoy a poem about a wind-up bird? Kumiko came home at 7:30. She'd been arriving later and later over the past month. It was not unusual for her to return after 8, and sometimes even after 10. Now that I was at home preparing dinner, she no longer had to hurry back. They were understaffed in any case, and lately one of her colleagues had been off sick.
"Sorry," she said. "The work just went on, and that part-time girl is useless."
I went to the kitchen and cooked. Fish sautéed in butter, salad, and miso soup. Kumiko sat at the kitchen table and vegged out.
"Where were you at 5:30?
She asked.
"I tried to call to say I'd be late."
"The butter ran out. I went to the store," I lied.
"Did you go to the bank?"
"Yes."
"And the cat?"
"Couldn't find it. I went to the vacant house, like you said, but there was no trace of it." "I bet it went farther away than that." She said nothing. When I finished bathing after dinner, Kumiko was sitting in the living room with the lights out. Hunched in the dark with her gray shirt on, she looked like a piece of luggage that had been left in the wrong place. Drying my hair with a bath towel, I sat on the sofa opposite Kumiko. In a voice I could barely catch, she said,
"I'm sure the cat's dead." "Don't be silly," I replied. "I'm sure it's having a grand old time somewhere. It'll get hungry and come home soon. The same thing happened once before, remember, when we lived in Koenji?" "This time's different," she said. "This time you're wrong. I know it. The cat's dead. It's rotting in a patch of grass. Did you look in the grass around the vacant house?"
"No, I didn't. The house may be vacant, but it does belong to somebody. I can't just go barging in there."
"Then where did you look for the cat? I bet you didn't even try. That's why you didn't find it."
I sighed and wiped my hair again with the towel. I started to speak, but gave up when I realized that Kumiko was crying. It was understandable. Kumiko loved the cat. It had been with us since just after our wedding. I threw my towel in the bathroom hamper and went to the kitchen for a cold beer. What a stupid day it had been. A stupid day of a stupid month of a stupid year. "Noboru Wataya, where are you? Did the wind-up bird forget to wind your spring?" The words came to me like lines of poetry. "Noboru Wataya, where are you? Did the wind-up bird forget to wind your spring?" When I was halfway through my beer, the phone started to ring.
"Get it, will you?"
I shouted into the darkness of the living room.
"Not me,"
she said.
"You get it."
"I don't want to."
The phone kept on ringing, stirring up the dust that floated in the darkness. Neither of us said a word. I drank my beer and Kumiko went on crying soundlessly. I counted 20 rings and gave up. There was no point in counting forever. 2. Full moon and eclipse of the sun. On horses dying in the stables. Is it possible in the final analysis for one human being to achieve perfect understanding of another? We can invest enormous time and energy in serious efforts to know another.